Network provides productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. With great value for money charge rates, error-free invoicing, and highly trained consultants. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? For more information, please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk. Joining me, Paul Andrews, on the show today is the absolutely lovely birthdayed up, Jill Serkin.
Hello, good afternoon, Paul Andrews.
Happy birthday for the weekend.
Thank you very much. Thank you, and thank you awfully for the lovely card with a meerkat on.
Yeah, I thought that was quite apposite, actually.
I thought it might have been an alpaca, but
I went for the...
unusual.
The portrait of the...
Because you are meerkat. Actually... stalked by one, aren't you?
Exactly, yeah. You set a meerkat on me, so I thought I'd get my own back by having one on your birthday card.
Thank you very much, and the Prosecco is greatly appreciated.
Absolute pleasure. Yes. So did you have a nice weekend?
I had a lovely weekend.
And did you celebrate in style?
I did. I went down to Brighton.
Did you?
And I looked on TripAdvisor, and we found the one of the top 10 restaurants in Brighton on the seafront. Sure. And I highly recommend it. It was Greco. It was a Greek restaurant.
Right.
And we had the meat platter.
Right.
And the meat was all marinated, 48 hours.
Blimey.
Gorgeous.
That's a long time to wait to eat.
No, it was already pre-marinated.
Oh, it's pre-marinated. Yeah. Oh, right, that was lucky.
It was delish. I had a little picnic on the beach first.
Blimey.
Just in case we got hungry, you know, about an hour before. So we had chorizo and cheese and prosecco and it was freezing. It was quite windy in Brighton.
Was it?
Yeah, then we minced around the lanes.
All right.
As you do, minced around the lanes. And a lot of people wearing pink.
Right.
So quite a few pink cars as well, and lots of men arm in arm.
Right.
And loved the lanes. And then we went to the little Greek restaurant, which was fab. He's now following me on Scoff and Quaff.
Really?
Which is a superior show. At 11 to 12 live, pre-Business Bunker.
That's it, I never heard of it.
Yeah.
Is it any good?
They give lots of plugs to the Business Bunker.
Cool. I did notice that you actually managed to find a branch of Coffee Republic.
I did.
In Brighton, and took a photo and tweeted it.
Yes, in honour of our guest.
We have a guest on later, Sahar Hashemi, who was a co-founder of Coffee Republic, so that was quite neat as well, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, there's a really interesting story to that, and that's going to be, I'm really fascinated to have her on the show.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Mm. It's a pleasure to be here and to be talking to the businesses of Kent. And we'd like to hear from you.
We would.
You can call us on 01303 874 998. But more often than not now, the best way to talk to us while we're on air is via Twitter. So you can tweet me at VanillaWeb. So if you'd like a shout out for your business, your organisation, your charity, do drop me a tweet. And we've already had a half a dozen tweets so far. Drop me a tweet and we'll read it out. With no problem at all. We have got loads of emails. You can email the show, but it's highly unlikely that if you email us now, we'd get round to reading it out on the show today. So you'd have to wait till next week. But if you want to email us, the address is bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk, and we'd love to hear from you. So I think, Jules, what we'll start with is one of our news emails, and then we'll do some of the tweets.
This is something that somebody sent in a week prior to the show, so this is the best way. If you want to get on either tweet, as Paul said, at VanillaWeb, or email the Business Bunker, and we will try and read out everything that comes through. So this is, hi Paul and Jules, new to your show, though I have followed you all on Twitter for a while. So quite a shy person here. And they've plucked up the courage to write in. The fabulous Laura Lawrence suggested I drop you a line to promote an event for small businesses at the Thames Innovation Centre in Erith on the 19th of June, and I'm helping out with it. This is from someone called Simon. So I should be really of course, Laura Lawrence was on our show, wasn't she, a while back? Was it about 2 weeks ago? I would be really grateful if you could give us a shout-out on your Business Bunker. I'm confident it will be a worthwhile for a lot of your listeners, especially those that don't have huge marketing budgets and want to get some real benefit from online marketing. and the event has been designed to deliver two specific outcomes for small business owners. Number one, it provides some really simple practical steps that can be taken after the event to improve marketing effectiveness, and to number two, be a brilliant networking event. It's £49 plus VAT. Anyone interested can book. And you can go to www.partnersinbusinessperformance.co.uk, and that's from Simon. So, Simon, welcome to the show, and thanks for sending that in. That's brilliant.
Yeah, thank you.
And we will put details on the Bunker Show website.
Everything you hear on today's show will be found on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website under today's show, and today's show is show number 125.
Wow.
I know. Amazing, isn't it?
I know.
I've had quite a few tweets, so I'll start to flash through reading some of them. We've been tweeted by Vision On. I don't know if you remember, Vision On were on a Business Bunker program about 18 months ago.
Mm.
And they are guys that specialise in regenerating the high street. And obviously they're going to be interested in hearing what our first guest today has got to say, Claire Richmond, who's going to be talking about that very subject. So welcome to Vision On. Also, Adrian, AK Pet Services, has tweeted.
He's
a relatively new listener, but he's been listening in for the last couple of weeks.
The other week, he was polishing a Great Dane's toenails, wasn't he?
He was, and then taking a cat to the dentist.
Yeah. And the cat was called Felix.
Absolutely. Adrian has a fantastic business. It's basically a taxi service for pets. So if you need to get to the vets or an animal hospital or anywhere, in fact, with a pet, Adrian's the man to do it, and he's fully licensed to carry pets properly as well. So that's AK Pet Services. We've also had a tweet from the lovely Alex Waterton of F-Keys, that's the Microsoft training people, over there in Midway City Estate. So that's Alex at F-Keys. And also Louisa Felstead.
Hello.
Known as Facilitator Kent on Twitter, has reminded everybody that there's an Invicta Chamber After Hours Club tomorrow evening in Sittingbourne at the Coniston Hotel. And it starts from 6 o'clock. And there is, in fact, a speaker at that event.
It's not you, is it?
I'm afraid it is,
Oh, no. I mean, you go to the opening of an envelope, Paul.
I know. It's sad, isn't it?
Thing is, I've seen all your speeches.
I've only got one.
You got any new ones?
No, I've only got one.
Is that the one where you leap on the stage like Fagin?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I like that. I do quite like it. Fastest I've ever seen you move, frankly.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So I will be speaking at that tomorrow at the Coniston Hotel, 6 p.m. The Kent Invicta Chamber After Hours Club. They're always good. We've got a list of all the other events that don't include me.
And what are you actually speaking about?
I don't know.
You're just going to make it up, wing it.
I've not gone there yet, have I?
Don't you plan?
Sorry?
Are you going to plan?
Plan?
No, you're not, are you?
No, you've lost me there.
Oh, honestly.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to that because
I'm sure you are.
I haven't. I haven't been to an after hours club for a while, and they're normally really cracking events. They normally get 40, 50 people there.
Is there any food?
I don't know.
Probably nibbles.
Yeah, there normally is. So, anyway, what's that got to do with a price?
Well, you know, because it'll be 6 o'clock, you'll be peckish by that time.
I'll be talking.
But you all have done a... You do. I've seen you with your licorice.
I finished that licorice.
I know, it was nice, wasn't it?
I had a whole packet of licorice.
Yeah. I had a boiled egg.
Did you?
Mm. Who else tweeted?
Rosebud Marketing are listening in.
Hello.
So welcome to you guys. And then we've got loads more, and we'll come to those as we unfold during the day. I've got an email that I want to read to you. It says, good afternoon. I work at Aylesford Priory. We have a summer fair on the 16th of June to enable us to produce a programme, flyers and banners, etc. We are carrying advertising in the A5 four-page programme. There will be 2,000 of these printed, and they will be handed out and distributed. So if you'd like to advertise in that publication, the front page banner advert is £100, and then there's a sliding scale down from there. If you're interested in advertising in the programme for Aylesford Priory for their summer fair on the 16th of June, you can contact Lee Bennett, who's marketing events and PR for the Friars at Aylesford. And her mobile number is 0792-889-8657. And you can find out about it at their website, which is www.thefriars.org.uk. That's thefriars.org.uk, where you can find out all about the summer fair on the 16th of June. And if you run a business in the Maidstone and Mid-Kent area and you'd like to take a very reasonably priced advert in the 2,000 copies of the programme that goes along with it, then contact Lee. She will sort you out.
Chris Pollard at Chris Connect It has said, both ears listening today. Where's the Josie Maguire? Well, she's probably enjoying a little Uzak or something, isn't she? What do they drink out there? A little Turkish thing?
Retsina.
Yeah, a little Retsina. Do they? Isn't that Greece?
I don't know.
But also he says, love a Greek marinade, Jules. Ask the disc jockey how his eye is. Have you done something to your eye?
I've never been a disc jockey.
No, that's true. True.
I'm not a disc jockey.
No, you're not.
I'm a presenter.
No, you're not. Oh, yeah, you are, yeah. How is your eye? What's happened to your eye? Is there a story?
Yeah, I got an eye infection last week, and I got a sty and then an infected sty and then conjunctivitis all on top of the same eye. And
you were fine last Tuesday. What happened?
Well, it was a bank holiday.
Oh, yeah.
So I had an eye infection all the way through the bank holiday, and then when the bank holiday was over, the sun went in, the rain came out, and my eye started to clear up so I could go back to work.
Well, I actually got a cold sore, and I thought, oh, no, we're being videoed, and, you know, a little cold sore perked up because of the sun. Mm. I get them. And I ripped it off yesterday in the shower. I ripped the scab off. I can't have it on the video, can I?
That's disgusting.
Yeah, I had to rip it off.
I don't want to know that.
I know, but your eye looks much better.
It does, yeah.
Was it the right one?
It was this one, yeah, my right one. Yeah.
It's a little bit smaller at the moment, a bit bloodshot.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you use Optrex?
No, I used GoldenEye.
Was it good?
Oh, it worked eventually, after the bank holiday had finished.
Did you have a nice bank holiday apart from that?
No, not really.
Oh, I did.
I heard, yes. And you raided most of the southeast of England for food and drink,
yeah,
which was lovely and well deserved. But I had okay. My youngest was with me, and we did a couple of things. But
did he cook or did you cook?
No, Stuart actually cooked supper for us on what evening was it? Sunday evening, and he cooked a really unusual but absolutely delicious pasta dish with chicken and bacon.
Ooh, lovely!
It was really really nice, and I had three portions of it.
Is that all?
That's how nice it was.
You're on one of your diets then?
Yep, that's how nice it was.
And who washed up?
Oh, I did.
Oh.
Of course I did. But no, but Stuart cooked it and it was really nice and I really enjoyed it.
Good. Well done, Stu.
Yep. Okay, I've got a few more tweets to read out here. Today's show sponsor, once again, are the lovely people at Telcare, the telecommunications providers over there in Medway. And they've had a tweet to say that they're listening, Telcare Limited, so thank you for that. All the guys over at Telcare. Juliet Shand is listening, as are West Kent Networking, and the lovely Angela at Another Journey Begins.
Hello, Angela.
The Fat Carrot said, thanks for reminding me it's Tuesday by being on the radio. That's all right.
It's always odd after a bank holiday because you sort of feel all disorientated, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah.
We've had one from Lisa Settle. I wonder if she's back from her honeymoon. She must be.
I think she is, yeah.
She can't be listening on her honeymoon. That would be awful. Mm-hmm. So she's saying, looking forward to the show. Didn't know you did a Fagin impression, Paul.
No, I don't. That's just Jules' interpretation. It's nothing like Fagin.
Got to pick a pocket door.
It's absolutely nothing like Fagin at all. Remotely.
You know that Lisa should listen to the two shows back when she was just jetting off to on her never-ending birthday.
Yeah.
Do you remember we were talking about her?
When we were talking about her and she wasn't listening.
Yeah. Then. But she must listen back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hear all the gossip.
Cool. Good. We can do a couple more tweets and then it's probably time to play some tunage and get our first guest organised.
Well, don't forget that this Thursday... Sorry, if you're just drawing breath. This Thursday, it's the Kent Business Tweet Up, and that's on the 30th of May. This one is at Lenley's, and it's in the Terrazzo restaurant, which is the first
floor. Oh, that'll be Roper Road Canterbury, won't it?
Roper Road Canterbury. Mm. There are no costs or conditions. You just meet and connect with new business contracts over a coffee or a little chocolate something or other. And there's a lunch menu there as well, and there's loads of free parking. Details of this are on www.kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk, and myself and Ken Lloyd will be there mincing around. But we'd like to see new businesses, and all of you are welcome, so that'd be great. At Lindley's, Roper Road, 10 o'clock, this Thursday the 30th of May. And you can try out a bed.
Brilliant. We're going to play a bit of tunage now.
Now, what are you playing?
I'm having an 80s day today.
So I heard.
So I've got a bit of Gary Numan.
Oh, really?
And Cars. We'll be right back.
Network provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Jill Serkin. That was Cars with Gary Newman. And it's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Show, Claire Richmond. Good afternoon, Claire.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, well, it's all damp up here.
Yeah, it's damp down here on the marsh as well. But never mind. Anyway, Claire, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I was fascinated by the work you've been doing in Crouch End in North London there. You've been involved with the High Street Regeneration Project, I understand.
Yeah.
It would be really good if you could tell us a little bit about you and your involvement in that project.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I had been living in the States for a couple of years and came back to my lovely Crouch End and was quite shocked to see it had just changed in some ways. It was beginning to look a little bit down at heel.
Right.
And, you know, this was before the recession, so, it was well before recession, so it really didn't feel there's any particular reason for it. But I sort of took it upon myself, because my background's marketing and media, to just start talking to the businesses about sort of what was behind it, in their opinion. And, in fact, the more I talked to them, the more concerned I became. It just seemed to me that the businesses weren't in any shape or form geared up to deal with the challenges they were facing. And that really worried me because, like most people, I didn't want to live in a ghost town.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I talked to businesses about what could be done about it. You know, it was clear to me for ages that brands become increasingly sophisticated about the way they reach their customers, tailoring their communications, creating amazing loyalty schemes, and, you know, the onset of the internet, they would be able to talk to customers in their own home. But these businesses weren't sort of doing anything to sort of win their customers back or engage them. And it was quite clear to me at this stage that the town centre was no longer the sort of local and convenient shopping opportunity that it once was. So it needed to think differently about how it could reach its customers and engage them.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. That is a syndrome that you see quite often, isn't it? People assume that the internet's killed the high street, amongst other things, and therefore you just give up.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the interesting thing about it is now, so it's 6 years on with the project, that, you know, the internet has actually helped the project.
Absolutely.
It's helped the town centre. But what was really important was that the businesses need to be empowered and geared up to challenge the many challenges they had with their competitors online and offline. And that required them to work collectively and to see themselves as a brand themselves. You know, any brand that is launched needs to engage its customers and to, you know, work hard to reach them and to involve them and to add a value to them. And for me, the town centre is an ideal brand, because even without doing anything, it already has the goodwill of the people behind it.
Absolutely.
You know, we've all got a vested interest in our town centres working, but it's not enough just to say save our small shops, because that's a very short-term strategy, you know.
Absolutely.
First of all, why should we save somebody else's business? And secondly, once you've said that a few times, you've got nowhere to go with it. So my view was to get the businesses together, to get them to think of themselves as working collaboratively, a bit like a really interesting department store. You know, they weren't in competition with each other, but, you know, Crouch End shops together were in competition with the online competitors and the out-of-town shopping centres.
Sure.
And it felt to me that if they could just give customers a good reason to come back, if you like, become the theatre, become the interest, become the leisure for the entertainment, then there would be opportunities for people to think differently about their town centre and re-engage and, you know, get to know it again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know what your experience is of this, but my view on the whole thing that's happening with town centres is that it's an opportunity.
It is.
It's a positive opportunity to move forward into a new era of retail experience in the high street. And so many people are trying to hang on to the past and stop it. You know, and I just think that's short-sighted, that you've got to move forward and move on to the next thing.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, it's very difficult because So there's an inclination to say to people, what do you want? And to a certain extent, people always say, you know, they want the butcher, baker and the candlestick maker. And the reality is that isn't what they use at high streets anymore. Mm. But, as I, you know, as I've already said, I know that unlike any other brand I've worked with before, a town centre has the community who want it to work. So if, you know, this is a dual approach. I think one of the questions I constantly ask people is, where does responsibility for town centre, you know, lie?
Yeah.
You know, and my belief is that in order to get this right going forward, we have to distinguish between what is in the hands of the council and the government and what is in the hands of the businesses and the people around it.
Absolutely.
And I don't think and have never thought that it was the role of the council to, you know, to re-engage the community with its town centre. And my experience in working in Crouch End and with other town centres is that anything that smells and looks like council is going to have a very, you know, people have a very strong reaction to it and not always a very positive one. So, you know, it's vital that the businesses, if there are businesses, not businesses in town centre, they have to work together and there needs to be a proper strategy employed by them, and they need to apply the same principles any marketing or branding would to how they engage and develop a platform people can engage with them on.
I couldn't agree with you more. I agree with you 100% on that, Claire. You know, too often everybody says, oh, the government or the council or politicians must do something about this, but they're the least knowledgeable.
Yes.
and it, you know, we don't want a high street run by the council. It defies me that everybody sits there and says, oh, somebody must do something about it. And I really do agree with you 100%. It's for the people running businesses in the high street to make the difference.
Mm-hmm.
In Kent, where we're based, we have two or three high streets that are actually thriving amongst a lot of high streets that aren't. And the ones that are thriving, places like Sevenoaks, Whitstable, Tenterton, are because they have a strong business community, and the business community does things to make things work in those towns.
Yes. So, I think that's absolutely right. And I mean, what I did in Crouch End was, you know, I worked immediately with the designer to put together a look for the communications that we would be producing. You know, it began with getting the businesses together. It began with getting the businesses to put whatever they could afford into the pot so we could pool the resources.
Mm.
And with that, it was really clear to me that the first thing you do is establish a look and a brand idea which could be used easily and cost-effectively across a number of different platforms.
Yep.
Because we had invested in it and we spent the first year actually creating events and doing things with the businesses, which really gave people a good reason to come back. But it was about that getting the businesses to behave differently, because I think people, and you know, it's certainly true that up and down the country there are really good examples of businesses working brilliantly well and creating some great things, and as well as great examples of town teams. But on the whole, you know, I just think it's really important to establish a platform which could then be something that the community can become involved with.
Absolutely.
Distinct from the council, because as you say, one of the problems is that when we did our first ever online, you know, we created a website for Crouch End, and initially it was just going to be a just content managed site. It's a showcase for businesses, because we knew that people wanted to be able to access the community easily and quickly, you know, the community offer. And to do so from your own home is ideal, because 96% of customers by now are researching and browsing online, so you have to have an online presence to make
of course,
it
yeah.
But what was extraordinary and what we hadn't anticipated was that because we'd spent a year building a really good relationship with the community and engaging people again, we had sort of become a community platform. And so we began to get inquiries from people about things which, frankly, I knew nothing about, you know.
Such as?
Well, about schools, about, you know, rubbish collections, about, you know, work, all sorts of things, which was fascinating, because it clearly demonstrated that those are things that you could find out about on your local authority sites.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it was there for. But people don't want to engage with the local community, you know, with the local authority like that. And it has a very, this is a platform that people liked and trusted.
Yeah.
But had nothing to do with paying rates or rates.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so it was separate. It had a different function. And we then went on to invest in a much more sophisticated database managed site, which sort of was able to reflect all the needs of the community and has a bit about work experience and volunteering, or, you know, it's what's going on in your area. So it has a multi-layered interest for the community. So there's a reason to go there other than just to look at the shops. It's to find out what, as I say, what's going on, or, and as important as anything, what the loyalty scheme's doing, because that was something which we launched initially and is now working very well on the new website. So, yes, distinguishing our role from the council's was a really interesting lesson for us.
It's really interesting, isn't it, how well it works when the community does it for itself.
Yeah.
Rather than it being forced and left to somebody else to do it as an administrative project.
Yes.
We could talk about this forever, Claire, but we've actually kind of run out of time now. It would be great to have you come into the studio at some point and to explore this further.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
But for the moment, thank you so much for joining us. Can you give us a shout out for your website, and if you can, the community website, and your Twitter handle, if you would like to do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's at Claire Richmond One's my Twitter handle, or Speak To. Our website is Speak To. It's about to be relaunched, so look out for that. I'm about to launch a blog, which is going to be called High Street Guru, and possibly a book later on this year. And the community website, the Sir Crouch End Project, so do have a look, and I'd love to hear everybody's comments. Thank you.
That's fantastic. We will put all those links on the Kent Business Radio website so that people can follow up with that. But for the moment, Claire, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. We're really fascinated by what you've achieved in Crouch End, and we'd like to see that happen in other high streets up and down the country. But for the moment, we're going to make it happen. So for the moment, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your wet and windy day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Paul. Nice to talk to you. Bye.
And you. Bye-bye, Claire.
Bye-bye. Very interesting.
Yeah, Claire Richmond there. And some really interesting and important insights. Mm. And I know it sounds political, but it isn't political, really. Council shouldn't be involved in a lot of this thing. I don't want to get into negatives again, but a council not a million miles from here, in partnership with a so-called business group, are trying to introduce a scheme which I just fundamentally disagree with, because they want to charge business owners more rates.
Oh, for goodness sake.
To do something that really they should be doing anyway. And anyway, why are the council involved? It's got nothing to, you know.
I mean, all they do is go and, you know, put up the parking and things like that.
You know, local authorities have a very useful role to play. In helping people and in doing things like rubbish collection and all the stuff that you need that your local council to do. And that's what they need to focus on. They need to go away and get out of doing business. Business people do business, not councils. Councils do rubbish collection and...
Sometimes they don't do rubbish collection.
No, I know, but that's what their role is, and that's what they need to focus on, is doing the infrastructure things that we need a council to do, not to do the things that other people can do. And Claire's absolutely right. If you look at all these Mary Porter's projects, they've just reported on the one in Dartford, and there's been a lot of antagonism about it. And again, in Margate, there's been more politics than regeneration.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who's right or who's wrong. The fact is, it's not achieved anything. After all that publicity, it hasn't got anywhere.
Well, there were a lot of people very unhappy in the Margate one, weren't they? Yeah, did you watch the programme on telly?
I haven't managed to watch it. I haven't been involved in any of it, and I haven't taken any notice of it. Mm. I've just seen a number of things go through that says, for all that publicity, all the effort, all the money spent on it, and all you're ending up with is a political argument.
Well, it was really about showcasing Mary Porter's.
Yeah, well, but whether it is or whether it isn't, my point isn't whether they're right, wrong, or indifferent. Mm. My point is it didn't achieve the desired result, and the reason for that is, in my humble opinion, is the wrong people are doing it.
I think when you see people like, you know, your Tenderden High Street, as you said, did you say Dartford was a good high street?
No. Sevenoaks.
Sevenoaks. Okay, and Whitstable, of course. But I mean, Whitstable struggled. There's a lot of charity shops and things. But what Whitstable do, you know, from my experience living there, is that they do pull together. They all put out bouquets, and they have, you know, Whitstable in Bloom and all the normal stuff. But when I went to Brighton, I was actually shocked by the amount of rubbish that was all over, you know, bin bags, all outside the restaurants, everywhere. It's not actually great for tourists to go and, you know, stumble over open bin bags that the foxes have been eating. Mm. We know it's a bank holiday. Mm. why is that amusing you? You're getting a vision of a fox?
No, because there's some politics behind that, and this show isn't about politics, but it just made me laugh.
Go on then, tell me.
Well, Brighton is one of the few places that's run by the Green Party.
Oh, no. Yeah. You're joking.
No, I'm not. Yeah, so that worked, didn't it?
Oh, dear. Yeah, well, I mean, it struck me that actually, you know, it was a bit dumpy, to be honest. I mean, my... So I'm just having a phone call and getting rid of them. We're live on air. They're phoning.
Turn your phone off.
No, I can't, because I'm getting tweets. Chris Pollard has said about Claire, the last guest, individual biz owners must take responsibility. Government has no idea.
Yeah. So, absolutely. You know.
And why should they?
No, exactly. It's not that they're useless or anything, although they are, but it's not that. It's not their bag. You know, why should...
Not their rubbish bag.
Why should you run somebody else's business?
Yeah.
You know, just because... A business fails in a high street doesn't mean to say the high street's wrong. It's normally because the business is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, they got the wrong product, the wrong service. We know that. You know, we talk about businesses that we go into where their customer service is appalling, their products are out of date or wishy-washy or badly priced.
Mm.
That's the issue. If you offer the right service with the right brand in the right marketing to the right markets, people will come.
There's a little fruit and veg shop in Whitstable which is really fighting for to get people to go, and you can go in and choose your fruit and veg and then they deliver for free, which is brilliant because you don't want to walk down the high street with 58 sacks of potatoes. So you can go and choose it and it's all delivered to you. And the other thing about snow in winter, when we get snow, you know how people started being afraid of sweeping their front, their frontage, as it were, because of people slipping and then suing. So they were leaving it to the council. Council didn't do it. So I think it needs to go back to that as well, that each, as you say, individual shop owner does their own...
Absolutely.
Frontage.
So what I'd say is, if you own a retail business or any business in a high street somewhere in Kent, and your high street's not performing in the way that you want it to do, why don't you let us know, and we will do what we can to publicise the fact that you and other businesses want to do something to change that. Because there are a number of people that can, you know, point us in the right direction that have done it in their own community. People like Claire.
Yeah.
And people like the folks from Vision On, who we had on the show last year, that have been working in this area. So, you know, there's lots of information from people that have done it and turned it around. So if you have a shop, a retail business, or just want to see some action in your local high street, why don't you let us know? We'd love to hear from you.
Castle Street in Canterbury is another one where, you know, they should get together and collect, because people sort of forget about Castle Street a bit, where the multi-storey
Castle Street.
And I often, you know, on my PR hat, I think I should knock on doors and say, look, you know, I'll get you together, guys. Chris Pollard has said, was in Rye yesterday, had lunch at Hayden's, buzzing high street. Thanks for that, Chris.
In Rye?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rye's a nice place. Yeah.
It is. And Telcare has said, totally agree with Claire. Collaboration is definitely what's needed. So interesting. Thank you for that, Telcare.
Yep, brilliant. We've had a tweet from Business Community Breakfast as well, just to say they're listening in and join the show. So welcome, guys. It's good to have you on board. Best business events are reminding us that not next Tuesday, but the Tuesday after, the 11th of June, is the Kent Invicta Chamber Kent Business to Business show at the Ashford International Hotel.
And we will be there.
We will be there. We're on stand 91, I think.
You better let me know, because I'm there before you.
I did email you, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
I don't read your emails.
And we're going to be broadcasting live from the show, as well as broadcasting back here on the studio. So, you can get to the show and still be on the radio and still be listening to us.
All biscuits and coffee, greatly
received.
Because I can't leave the stand, can I?
No, I got grief over this last time, listener.
I have to take a little sort of commode with me this year, won't I? Because I'm not allowed to leave the stand.
Yeah, we'll get you some help.
Yeah.
So that's on the 11th of June at the Ashford International Hotel.
2 weeks' time.
Yeah, the Kent Invicta Chamber Business to Business annual event. So do get onto that. They've got a top lineup of speakers, some of whom are going to be on this radio show in not too long. In a few minutes, in fact.
Yes. That could be Coffee Republic.
It could indeed. Joining us
Gerald
later.
Ratner later on.
That's next week. Gerald Ratner's joining us next week. But later on today, coming up at 2 o'clock, we've got Sahar Hashemi, co-founder of Coffee Republic, joining us on the show. So we're looking forward to that. We've had a few tweets and we've got some more emails to read out.
Got a lovely story here, Paul. This is a huge welcome. This is a young lady called Yasmin Nash, and she's in Herne Bay. Am I too booming still?
Yeah, you need to move back a bit.
I'm not used to having it so
That's
here.
That's better. That's perfect.
Hello. So Yasmin Nash, she's just 18, and she found it really, really hard to get a job. She's a qualified beauty therapist. So what she did was she took matters into her own hands, and she's opened her own beauty salon in Herne Bay.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Well
18.
Done. Well done, young lady.
Amazing. So she opened on Monday. So I guess that's yesterday. No, it can't be. It must be last Monday.
Last Monday, yeah.
And she was a pupil at Herne Bay High. She lives in Chesterfield, and she was at Canterbury College studying her beauty therapy, and she couldn't get a job. So she said that so many people that she trained with are doing other things because they couldn't get the work. I have to put them through to Serenity Becker. She's always looking for staff because she's expanding. Anyway, she said, this is what I really wanted to do, and no one would take me on without more experience, chicken and egg.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to do it myself. She worked at Asda to pay for extra courses and persuaded her parents to let her use an empty shop unit that they owned in Western Avenue. The whole family mucked in with the renovations, and Yasmin pampered her first client on Monday. And she said, I was really excited, but I didn't really think about it as my first client. And at college, we had clients every day in the spa, so I have a lot of experience. Yasmin offers treatments from fake tan and manicures to non-surgical facelifts.
Blimey.
That's what we need.
I could do one of those.
You could. Yes, you could.
Which means you could.
You
thank
could.
You for that.
For an appointment or more information, you can phone Yasmin on 01227 741 700 or find the business on Facebook. Or use the email Yasmin, Yasminis, beauty at hotmail.co.uk. Well done, Yasmin, and we will, I'll probably trot along and see you.
Cool, that's good. We've had a tweet from Eke Media.
Ah, oh, lovely rant.
Hi, Vanilla Web. Is there room for an Eke Media mention on today's Business Bunker? We're finalists in the South London Business Awards, so hashtag wish us luck. So, wishing good luck to Eke Media in the South London Business Awards. Hope you do well. You should do. Fantastic organisation. And I think it's, if you want to find out about them, it's www.ekemedia.com. That's E-C-C-E-M-E-D-I-A, Eke Media. Wishing you folks good luck in the South London Business Awards.
Well done there, Brant and the chaps.
Yeah.
Chris Pollard has said I can borrow his commode for the B2B exhibition, or his mum's, I think it is. Thank
oh,
you so much.
He's such a thoughtful
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Yeah.
And Lisa Metal has Settle has lost her voice.
Really?
You know why I call her Lisa Metal, don't you?
No.
Because it's Lisa M. Settle, her Twitter. It always confuses me.
And why has Lisa M. Settle
well,
lost her voice?
She's obviously been frolicking too much on her honeymoon, sort of repeat honeymoon.
Cool. Hey, what about this? We've got a new listener, Martin and Co. from Ashford. Vanilla Web, please can you give Martin Co. Ashford a shout out? We're the UK's number one letting agency, and we love the show.
They do. Well, someone has to.
Somebody has to. Thank you for that. That's you can follow Martin and Co. on Twitter at Martin Co. Ashford. That's all one word. Martin Co. Ashford on the Twitter. And that's Martin and Co, the letting agents based in Ashford in Kent. And welcome to the show, and thank you for your kind words and your support.
It's much appreciated. Quite a few new listeners and tweeters, haven't we?
We have indeed.
There's a networking event at Woodstock Club, Broad Oak Road, Sittingbourne, and that's the 27th of June, which is a Thursday at 6:30 to 8:30. Gordon Henderson, the MP from Sittingbourne and Sheppey, will be hosting the new After Hours networking event for members of the Sittingbourne and Sheppey Link to Business, and hope that you'll be available to attend. So there'll be a convivial drink, and it'll be a good idea for you to meet local businesses, discuss your products and services. So if you'd like to attend this networking event, email Jess McMahon at jess.mcmahon@parliament.co.uk. No co there. Is that right?
Say it again.
Oh, I can't say it all.
No, just the web address.
At parliament.uk, no co. Can it be? It can be a .uk, I think. Or she missed it off, didn't
she? No, if it's parliament, at parliament, it'll be .gov.uk. parliament.gov.
Okay, so she might have missed that. Anyway, we will track it down and we will put it on the Business Bunker, but you can contact jess.mcmahon, and it's Thursday 27th of June, with Gordon Henderson, Sitting Board and Sheppey MP. We'll track that down and put it on for you properly.
Cool. We've had a tweet from Lizzie Hodgson, who is known on Twitter as the Digital Mix. That's Digital Mix, M-I-double-X. And Lizzie says, this is talking about my, what you call my Fagin speech.
Oh, yeah. Who's this?
Lizzie Hodgson.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Liz.
Paul, I well remember your dramatic stage entry.
See?
It's a sight to behold.
See?
It's surfer meets ninja in a suit. Thank you for that, Lizzie. That's a fantastic description of my one and only talk.
I've never seen him move so quickly, Lizzie, have you? What was it? Surfer meets ninja?
Yeah. I ought to say there's been some tweets from Jules Serkin as well.
Has there?
Yeah, about video meeting, killing the radio star. But I have to tell you, we are being filmed today. So look out for the video of this monstrosity as it unfolds. But we have a camera crew in here filming us today. So.
Yes.
Yeah, so she could be quite right.
Well, it was nice to keep the mystery for a while, wasn't it, Paul?
For a little while, yeah.
That we're really svelte young producers and presenters, but mm-hmm. No.
Kevin Hadlow, over there at Dobbies in Gillingham, has tweeted, good afternoon, guys. Listening in as usual, and I hope you are well. Yes, we are. Thank you, Kevin.
We are.
And I hope it's all good over the in your part of the world, in Gillingham, at the Dobbies Garden Centre.
There's a consultation on Canterbury City Council's draft local plan.
Right.
CB4 is hosting a breakfast briefing on the 28th of June to give Canterbury business owners an opportunity to be involved in the consultation. It'll run from the 13th of June until the 16th of August. The venue is Canterbury Christchurch Uni. It's 8 o'clock to 10. Ooh, there's a light breakfast. So that will be provided. So that's the 28th of June. If you're a business, Canterbury business owner, you need to be there. Also, lots of things going on there. Do you want me to read them, or are you poised to read something?
No, you read it.
Well, there's a childcare business grant scheme. That's interesting. £2 million scheme to boost childcare businesses and get more women into work. God, I don't want any more work. Has opened its doors for applications. From the 1st of May of this year, people who want to set up a new nursery or a childminding business can get grants of up to £500 to help cover things like legal and insurance costs, training, equipment and adaptations to premises. So they'll be encouraged to join up with a free business mentor and access specially tailored business startup advice. And this will help to launch up to 6,000 new childcare businesses. So that's a good initiative for people. Young people trying to get a job when you've got children, not easy.
That sounds good. No, good stuff. I've got an email here. Opposites, Ashley Ashton, from the 18th of May to the 22nd of June at the Margate Gallery. Last year, Ashley was joint winner of the Canvas and Cream Art Prize in London, and his work was also selected for the Discerning Eye, the National Open Art Competition, and the Ludlow Open. In addition, Ashley was selected for the Royal Academy Summer Exhibition back in 2011. To coincide with this exhibition, Ashley will be in the gallery to discuss his work, that's the Margate Gallery, on Saturday, June the 22nd, from 12 until 2 p.m. Then the exhibition is ongoing until the 4 p.m. on Sunday, the 22nd of June. So the exhibition is open now, and it's ongoing until Sunday, the 22nd of June, and that's at the Margate Gallery, 2 Lombard Street, Margate. And the opening times are 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Mondays to Saturdays, and 12 to 4 p.m. on Sundays. If you want to find out more about it, you can contact the gallery on 01843 292 779, or you can email Janet at margategallery.co.uk, or you can look at it online at www.margategallery.co.uk/exhibition/opposites, and we will put that link on the Kent Business Radio website so that you can follow up with that and have a look at that whenever you want, and get along and see the work of Ashley Ashton at the Margate Gallery.
Here's one for you, because you'll have to fill me in on the surname, because you know what I'm like with Gerard's. Gerard Jimificus.
Jacquemificius.
Come on, Gerard.
I just said it, Jacquemificius.
Is it? I'm sure it doesn't sound like
Mimesis, is it? And then he sends me an email saying, that's wrong.
You said it wrong.
Yeah.
I always say Jamificus.
Which is nowhere near right.
Anyway, Gerard has said, hello, Jules and Paul, in that order. I thought you'd be interested in a competition I'm running where the winner will have a dedicated mobile website. I love this idea, created for them by one of the top experts in the field. A mobile website is one that looks sharp, clear, and is easy to read on smartphones and tablets. Standard websites just don't look wrong on these devices, and people don't bother trying to read a jumbled image. More browsing is done on these mobile sites than through standard websites. So the Life Coach Associates competition to enter, www.life-coach-associates.com/competition. So go on to that. That's Gerard Jamificus. Should we have him on and have some lessons? Mm-hmm. Gerard. So that's lifecoachassociates.com. Enjoy the show and be good. Well, there's no chance there.
Cool.
Jekimavikius.
I've had a tweet here that may be somewhat difficult to read out. Because
or is
I'm
the
not
J-A-Y? Jekimavikius.
Jekimavikius.
Yeah, so Jekimavikius.
Listen, you're doing this just to get me into trouble.
Jekimavikius. Jekimavikius. Gerard, to you and me. Yeah. Great idea, though. There is a phone number, 278-618.
Well, that'll help, won't it?
Well, to enter the competition, then just ask for Gerard.
Well, that's not long enough, that phone number.
Yeah, it is. 01227-278-618.
Thank you.
Oh, you mean you wanted the code?
Yes.
Whitstable.
Because it helps.
Whitstable.
Just because you know it's in Whitstable.
I know. I'm local.
I had this tweet. And
did you?
I'm not entirely sure what it means.
But aren't you like that about most things?
Yeah, that is true. But probably then it's worth just following their link just to find out.
Yeah.
It's from a new listener, and their Twitter handle is Avoid Highway to Hell.
Avoid?
Avoid Highway to Hell. Spelled Avoid, H-I, Way, W-A-Y, number two, Hell. Avoid Highway to Hell. And they say, come to our free seminar in Tunbridge on the 27th of June. And it's the seminar is called Can In Cameras Reduce Your Fleet Costs? So cool. I'm reading between the lines, and I assume that these guys are something to do with fleet cars, trucks or something, and they have some scheme for putting cameras in them so that people don't abuse corporate property. But that's just
it's a very cryptic tweet, isn't it, really?
Yeah, so the easiest thing is to have a look at their website if you're interested.
Well, it's a blooming good job you're so intelligent, Paul, because we wouldn't have got anywhere otherwise.
Thank you for that. That made me laugh. Their website is www.avoidingthehighwaytohell.com, and that's avoiding the highway, H-I-G-H-W-A-Y, the number two hell, avoidingthehighwaytohell.co.uk/workshop-book.
You were going to say slash then, weren't you?
Forward slash.
Oh, yeah, it is. Sorry. I thought you were talking. You needed to go. Sorry.
No. Forward slash.
Because you'd said number two and then you said slash. So
don't,
sorry.
Don't do toilet humour on the radio. Yeah. Thank you. /workshop-book. So that's avoidingthehighwaytohell.co.uk.
And check it sounds it out. Like a song by Meatloaf, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Heavy rock. Right, why are you passing me that?
Because you like...
You want me to read this one?
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's Think Link, the May 2012 update for the world's most expensive link. Hi, Paul and Jules. Here is your monthly update about what has been happening on the world's most expensive link. At least 13 participants have topped up their entries and one new participant over the last month. For a number of years now, the top slot has been firmly held by Kent-based company Anthony Gray Clocks,
yes,
who specialise in antique clock restoration. This has now been the world's most expensive link for over, wait for this, 1,267
years.
Days. So to gain the top spot, your link must be worth a total amount of £571, but you can start your link off from as little as a pound. And there's a new participant that's come straight in at number 67, which is www.robertsales.co.uk. They are repair and restoration of antique clocks and barometers as well. So they're obviously going to compete with Anthony Gray.
I wonder if they're in cahoots.
I don't know. But check out the world's most expensive link. It's a really fascinating way of raising money for charity and having some fun. And you can do that by going to their website, which is www.theworldsmostexpensivelink.com. Check it out.
That's the fabulous Alan Noak, isn't it?
And that is Mr. Alan Noak of Ice Lab fame.
Probably be at B2B with his little penguin.
He may well be. He may well be with his penguin Shackleton.
West Kent branch of the Federation of Small Businesses. They're at the River Centre in Tonbridge, or Tunbridge as you say it, 18th of June, 5 to 7.30. It's a networking event. It's free. So it's www.wknetworking130618.eventbrite.com. So we'll put that on the Business Bunker website after the show.
Cool. Rob from Go Virginity has reminded us on the Twitter that Highway to Hell was a great AC/DC number.
See, he listened. Oh, was it? So I got it wrong. It wasn't. I was thinking of Bat Out of Hell, wasn't I, Rob?
Yeah, but yes. Near enough. It's still heavy metal.
Yeah, AC/DC. I wonder how Mike is there. I expect he's beavering away with all their. They've got loads of new work. Doing really well, yeah.
Yeah, but they've got new offices too as well.
Do you know the funny thing was, you know the cinema in, is it New Dover Road or Old Dover Road? There's a little car park there behind the cinema.
Yeah.
And I always park there and then go under the subway through to Phoenix. And when I parked there, I got Go Vicinity's web, you know, I got their Wi-Fi.
Did you?
In the car park.
Did you?
Yeah.
Blimey.
But I couldn't hack into it or anything, but it just came up.
Oh, right, okay.
Amazing.
But it was password protected, was it?
I must have been, but so I'm going to go around and schmooze him so I can sit in the car park and, you know.
And use his Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But
watch it, Rob.
He did invite me in for a coffee or a cake or something.
cool.
The brownies, this is also 30th of May, so you've got Kent Business Tweet Up in the morning at Lenley's in Roper Road, and then you can go to a few meetings, pop in, see Rob at Go Vicinity, and then you can go to the Best Western Abbots Barton Hotel in Canterbury, which is attended also by the FSB, the Federation of Small Businesses, and that's at 7 to 9. Sorry, so you go there first, have your breakfast, £9.50 per person, and then you toddle on to Lenley's afterwards.
Can't be bad.
Yes. I need to cough, so you carry on.
Oh, right, okay. Just to let you know that the next running of Fruitworks Create will be on the 20th of June. Two of the speakers are already announced, and there's a third speaker due to be announced shortly. So that's Create at Fruitworks, and that's on the 20th of June, which is Thursday evening. And that's at Fruitworks in Stow Street, Canterbury. And you can find out all about it by going to the...
Sorry, oh dear. I think I inhaled some dust.
Did you, really?
Can you not clean here sometimes?
I thought you cleaned this morning. When I arrived listening this morning, she had rubber gloves on and she was going, look at the state of this loo, I'm going to clean it.
And I did the base and you've never seen the taps gleam like that.
Oh, yeah.
Next week I'll bring in some Ajax.
Yeah.
Look, the video guy is coming round. Now I'm coughing.
Yeah,
he's coming round to video me.
Exactly. Anyway, she went mad with Mr. Jiffy.
Yeah.
And then she did some cleaning.
Yeah.
Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, Create at Fruitworks. So you can find out about the next Create event by going to their website, which is www.fruitworks.co/create. So check that out. That's always a really great event.
It is. There's some apprentice grants, Paul. I know you want to play some tunage, don't you?
I want to play some tunage in
can
a minute.
Can I tell you quickly?
Very quickly. And okay. Then we're going to get our next guest on the phone after some tunage.
Hello, Paul and Jules. Your radio show has been brought to my attention by a colleague, and I wondered if some information about our company could be broadcast on your show. Company supports SMEs in Kent and further afield across the southeast to engage with apprenticeships throughout the through the provision of our recruitment, employment and support service. And we are an accredited apprenticeship training agency by the National Apprenticeship Scheme, www.apprenticeships.org.uk, employers/steps to make it happen. Currently there are grants totalling £3,500 for companies that take on an apprentice for the first time or have not had an apprentice in the last year. And we would like to inform as many companies as possible. So you can contact Irene Hoare, H-O-A-R-E, who's the operations manager at South East Apprenticeship Company. There's a phone number which is 07587-131947. 07587-131947, or just Google southeast-apprenticeship.co.uk. That's great. 3,500. Not bad grant.
Fantastic. I think we're going to play a bit of Chinish now.
I thought you might. Now, you're in your 80s theme.
I'm still in my 80s mode, yeah.
So yeah, when you had hair.
yeah, just. We got a bit of Midura, Ultravox and Vienna.
I say.
We'll be right back.
Temp Network provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk. Come on, let's work you to
the bone. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Jill Serkin. It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome onto the Business Bunker show Saha Hashimi, OBE. Saha, thank you for joining us.
Oh gosh, my pleasure, Paul. Thank you for asking me.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. The co-founder of Coffee Republic, a speaker, author, and entrepreneur. Saha, I understand, though, that you actually started off your corporate life as a lawyer.
Yes, I did, because I never thought I was remotely creative or had anything of an entrepreneur within me. So I went, I think, and chose the least creative job there was.
Right. So what inspired you to change that?
Well, basically, I just sort of realized, actually, after a while, that just I wasn't enjoying it. I didn't think I was particularly good at it. And so every day I would just leave a part of myself behind and just go just for the job, you know, just for
sure.
The paycheck. And at one point I realized maybe life's too short just to come in for the paycheck. Maybe I've got to do something that I actually love doing where I could be me doing it.
Absolutely. It's a sad thing, though, isn't it, that quite an awful lot of people feel like that about their work, but then don't really do anything about it. They just stick with it for the sake of sticking with it.
Yes, absolutely. I think even more sad nowadays because, you know, with all these mobile phones and stuff, you know, work is so becoming part of our lives.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, before I think you could separate yourself more from your work. You could keep it 9 to 5, but you know, people can't keep it 9 to 5. So if they don't enjoy it, work is just constantly encroaching on their life. And
absolutely.
If it's something they don't enjoy doing, I think it's such a waste, really.
Absolutely. So what inspired you to launch Coffee Republic?
Oh, gosh, well, that's a long time ago. But I fell in love with it as a customer. I saw the sort of, I tasted the skinny latte when I was in New York on a trip.
Right.
And I couldn't believe you couldn't get it. So just in a way, I wanted skinny lattes for myself, and I figured if I wanted it, others would want it too. So it was really my, as a customer, I wanted to drink kind of proper coffee.
Right, okay. So that it was just a personal thing that made you want to do that, really?
Yes, absolutely. And kind of that's why just sort of people don't realize that sometimes there's something they're missing in their own life. It's the seed of a great business idea, and that was exactly what Coffee Republic was for me. I wanted to drink skinny lattes myself.
Right, okay, cool. I mean, and it's an interesting thing, isn't it, that sometimes those kind of revelations, as you like, are the thing that inspire us to move on and do something that we didn't believe we could do in the first place. You know, you kind of intimated when you first started talking to us that you'd never really considered yourself an entrepreneurial type of person.
That's right, absolutely. I think that's the sort of, you know, when you get that little idea comes to you or something that you're missing or some sort of headache out there begging to be solved, that is the seed of a brilliant business idea, and you learn on the job, to be honest. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about how things have moved on for you since the founding of Coffee Republic, because you've moved on into other areas now, and you're a best-selling author and speaker and entrepreneur and other things.
Yes, well, I mean, when I left Coffee, I sort of started Coffee Rock in 95, and it was an amazing journey, and I sort of left it 5 years later when we had sort of 110 stores, and I think I left it thinking, well, when companies get big, they don't need the entrepreneur anymore, and, you know, maybe my phase is over, and, you know, people always think entrepreneurs have got to leave businesses they start, and you've got a sell-by date, so I bought into that, and I actually left Coffee Republic, and I terribly missed my business. I missed the business I'd started. So really, I wrote my first book, Anyone Can Do It, which was in a way an anti-Richard Branson book, if I can say, just saying anyone can do it, anyone can start a business.
Right.
But kind of what I've done since is about sort of people in established companies behaving more like entrepreneurs.
Absolutely.
So just entrepreneurship is not just for startups. We've always got to think like an entrepreneur, have that sort of agility of an entrepreneur.
Absolutely. It's funny you should say that. I've run my own businesses for many years, but I had a corporate life before that. And I worked for a large American bank many, many years ago. And in the 80s, they decided that they needed entrepreneurship internally, but it was actually quite comical how they did it. You know, it was basically a corporate project.
You had to
admire them for even thinking about it, but their execution wasn't exactly entrepreneurial, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
How many books have you now published, Saha?
So just two. So Anyone Could Do It, which was for entrepreneurs. And my second one is Switched On, which is about people that kind of are in established businesses, thinking more like sort of the entrepreneurs they were when they first started.
Absolutely. Okay. And you made reference earlier to your time at Coffee Republic and thinking that maybe you needed to move on as an entrepreneur and let somebody establish a business. Have you thought more about that since you've left that? In terms of how you feel about that now?
Because I feel very... So yes, absolutely. Sorry, did I interrupt you, Paul?
No, you carry on.
I feel very strongly about that because no one had warned me at that time when I left that actually, you know, kind of, number one, it's very difficult for entrepreneurs to leave businesses as they start.
Yeah.
And number two, no, they shouldn't, because, you know, when you start a business, you're attached to it, you care about it a lot, you often start as a customer of the business. So the question is sort of keeping yourself there, and this idea that you have to sell out, I think, is completely wrong. And I think people should stick with their businesses. Although they change, you still want your hand in, because you're the person who's got passion. So I feel very strongly about this, and I'm hoping that when I come to Kent in June for this event, it's just one thing, you know, there'll be many business owners there who probably just getting a bit sick and tired and saying, oh, I want to get rid of this, I want to be done away with it. And it's a pity, because people love their businesses much more than they think.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And I'm really looking forward to that. You're speaking at the Kent and Victor Chamber Business to Business event on the 11th of June, are you not?
Yes, exactly.
At the Ashford International Hotel. And people can come along and hear you speak and hear your story and hear what you've got to tell us about the book. So we're all really looking forward to that. And we're actually going to be broadcasting live from that event as well. So we'll be there.
Great.
Saha, for the moment, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. We're really looking forward to hearing you on the 11th of June, and thank you so much.
Me too. Thank you, Paul. Thank you.
Okay, and we'll see you soon. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ah, that's fascinating.
Mm.
Do you know what time she is speaking?
I don't know what the times are, but you can go to the website, which I haven't got to hand, but there is a link already onto the Business Bunker website to that website, and we'll be publicising it over the next couple of weeks. But Saha will be speaking at that event, and it is free to attend, so do get along and listen, because he's got a fantastic story to tell you. Both the books are really good books as well, so have a look at her
inspirational
books. Yeah, absolutely, and she's absolutely right. I couldn't agree with her more. You know, there's a lot of myths that people are entrepreneurial but can't run a business. But
running a business is hard. It's hard work.
Of course it is. But as an entrepreneur, as someone that's got passion for the business that you founded, you probably know more about it and are more passionate about it than any corporate, you know, bureaucrat's ever going to be.
Mm.
So, you know, why not stick with it? I totally agree with her. She's absolutely right. Cool. Well, Tempest is fugiting and all that.
Yeah, sorry, I was tweeting, that's why. You know, I've had Chris at Connect It has told me to have a cough suite, and I actually rummaged in my bag, and I found these. I think they're from, like, you know, about 4 years ago when you first started the show. And I unpeeled them. And I unpeeled them, and all the paper was stuck to it.
With fluff from the bottom of the handbag.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And now I've just got all the paper stuck in my throat.
So that's really going to work. That's really going to cure your tickly cough, isn't it?
And Chris said, have some water and do some sound effects, but I've only got that because, you know, John Sykes didn't bring the jug in today, and we didn't have much time, did we? So I wasn't prepared.
Yeah, no, we didn't.
Did you know that the bistro next door, Ruth Denzi's Bistro, is doing a Riviera night menu, which is on the 13th of July? I mean, we've supported these, and they're really, really fabulous food. I recommend it. It's £22 a person, which I think is really good value.
Mm-hmm.
You get a Kir Royale to start. You get a salad niçoise. You get a pisella d'hier. I don't know what that is. Pisella d'hier. That's a traditional onion and anchovy tart, apparently. You get a soup au pisto, which is veggie soup with basil. You then get Provençal fish stew with aioli. You get alouette sans tête, with beef rolls braised in rich tomato sauce.
You're doing it, why are you doing this in an Inspector Clouseau accent?
Allouette sante
de cuvée.
Provençal fish stew with aioli.
Provençal fish stew.
With aioli.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get a poulet au figue, which is chicken breast to you, stuffed with figs and cream cheese.
Oh, thank you.
Not many people know that. I went into Michael Caine there, did you see?
Did you?
Yeah, just slipped into it. Tarte au citron, crêpe au chocolat.
Just talking about Michael Caine, you won't recognise this, but watching the Champions League final on Saturday night, whenever it was.
Was he in it then?
Yeah, no, Jurgen Klopp, who's the manager of Borussia Dortmund. Don't you think he looks like Harry Palmer?
I love that film.
Yeah, it's cool.
It was a bit dark, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a bit.
Very sad, but yeah, no, I don't know what he looks like. Can you tweet me a picture?
He looks like Harry Palmer.
Does he?
Yeah, funnily enough.
Really?
Yeah, I don't reckon.
And then there also, Paul Andrews, there's a crêpe au chocolat et grand manière clafoutis, which is a traditional cherry batter pudding to you.
Is it?
So that's 13th of July, Riviera night menu. Now, by then, at Hagelands Village, there'll be warm, balmy nights, and as in B-A-L-M-Y, not B-A-R-M-Y.
Is that right?
You weren't listening.
No, I wasn't taking a blind bit of notice.
I said there'll be, by then, there'll be warm, balmy nights.
Warm, balmy nights?
Yeah.
I'm mad, I am.
Q. Q you and your standard jokes.
I'm mad, I am. Yeah.
Eco Green Deal update. Meet the buyers event. Kent County Council have appointed Enterprise as their partner to deliver eco projects. So that's things like insulation, hot water, heating controls, draft proofing in Kent. Enterprise have indicated their intention to support and work with local businesses. It is now possible for SMEs to register interest in delivery of eco through Enterprise. Who writes these? By attending a Meet the Buyers event on 19th of June. Sue.waldock, W-A-L-D-O-C-K at F for Freddy, S for Sugar, B for Bertie, .org.uk. Enterprise Meet the Buyer. Put that in the subject line. And that's from Debasish Sen, who's the regional vice chairman of the SS Federation of Small Businesses, Kent and Medway. There's a number which is 01622 688 134, or email office.kent@fsb.org.uk for your Eco Green Deal update.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. I've had a tweet in from Steve Mink of icesugarmedia.com saying hi, so check them out, icesugarmedia.com. I've also, Jonathan Marsh has sent an email with a link to a social media trend report, saying that this may be interesting, and I'm sure it will be, but I'd have to read the report first before I can report on it. But I will have a look at it, and if I think that listeners can benefit from it, then we'll put a link to it next week. So thank you for sending that, Jonathan. We'll have a read of that and see what we think about it in due course. There's a few more tweets coming in still. Okay. Oh, Kent B2B.
Don't read them to yourself, Paul. We want to hear them.
Yeah, no. Kent B2B have said that Saha will actually be on at 2:20 on the 11th of June.
So, will I be allowed off the stand to even listen to her? Will you be there by that time? No, you won't.
No, I'll
You'll
be live
be
on
here.
Air. We'll be live on air at that time.
Well, what I'll do is I might get John Sykes to come over and perch there, and then I'll go and listen to
Joe it. Dodds is going to be there, and possibly also Becky.
Right.
Becky Oliver,
get one of
maybe
them to
there.
Sit there.
And Jamie may be there as well, but I haven't told him yet.
All right, you haven't ordered him.
No. And just to go back to Saha Hashemi's appearance, along with Gerald Ratner and other people, you can find out all about that event on the 11th of June by going to the website, which is www.kentb2b, that's b2b.co.uk, and you can find out all about that. And Saha will be speaking at 2:20 p.m. Also, I was remiss. I didn't tell you Saha's web.
You were
address.
Remiss, yes.
I was remiss.
Shame on you.
You can find out more about Saha and her speaking, her workshops, her work and her books by going to her website, which is www.sahahashemi.com. And let me spell you that. That's S-A-H-A-R-H-A-S-H-E-M-I SaharHashemi.com, and you can find out all about her, her story and her books, and it's a fabulous website, I have to say. So do check that out. Right.
It's good that B2B are listening.
Yes, absolutely. We've got a lot of listeners again, which is really nice. I've still got loads of emails to read out. Have you got any left?
I've got two.
Okay. I've got this. A tomato firm in Ash is creating 80 new jobs, 80 new jobs, as part of a multi-million pound expansion. APS Salads, one of the UK's largest suppliers of tomatoes.
Tomatoes. You say tomato, I say potato. Tomato, potato.
You've got a singy kind of day today, haven't
you? Let's call the whole thing off.
I have to tell you, listener, that Jules did two renditions of Sweet Caroline earlier today. One live on air on the radio. And one for the video that's being shot today.
With my guests.
Yeah, so...
Because the video guy said it was so funny and he missed it.
Right. So...
I dread to think what it sounds like live, though.
Anyway, where were we? APS Salads,
one of the
UK's largest suppliers of tomatoes, has almost doubled the existing site's capacity as part of a £3.67 million growth project. The purpose-built development at Europa Nursery now comprises 57,000 square metre state-of-the-art production facility. That's a lot of tomato sauce, isn't it?
This is near Ash.
Yeah.
So that's near Nash. I love these. Near Canterbury, outside Canterbury, isn't it?
Yeah,
near Ash, near Nash.
Yeah.
Strange, isn't it? Mm. Ash and Nash.
Which was... you've interrupted me
find it fascinating.
The rest of the sentence is not going to make sense now, so I've got to start again.
Yeah, go back
the
to the full stop.
The purpose-built development at Europa Nursery now comprises a 57,000 square metre state-of-the-art production facility, which was officially opened last month. APS Salad supplies major supermarket chains such as Tesco and Iceland. This will create substantial additional turnover and jobs in the area over the next 3 years. The firm was founded as A. Pearson and Sons in 1949 by Albert and Hilda Pearson.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do indeed. I was there.
You were first in the queue.
Yeah.
Your little basket.
Yeah.
Your donkey.
Yeah, yeah. It remains a family business with second, third and fourth generations still actively involved.
That's amazing.
So that's fantastic. Well done. Another producer expanding in Kent.
He should come on Scoff and Quaff.
Absolutely, they should.
Which is live at 11 to 12 every Tuesday morning before
the
Business Bunker.
Is it really? Is it any good?
We do live songs now, live singing with the guests.
You sing your own records?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, saves on the...
it's on the PRS bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So another producer expanding in Kent. The Gardener Kent goes from strength to strength as a producer of good quality food, drink and comestibles.
Yes.
So
say that again, comestibles?
Comestibles.
What does that mean?
Food and drink.
Comestibles?
Yeah.
How do you spell it?
I don't know.
Don't say IT.
I don't know.
Comestibles. Oh, yeah. I do like that.
Do you like that? Comestibles.
Mm. Yeah, I do like that. Geographical Information Systems, GIS. If you want to learn or develop your skills in GIS, Canterbury Christchurch Uni is pleased to announce it'll be running a short course in GIS. I've never heard of GIS. Have you?
GIS.
Hmm. I suppose you have.
Geographical Information Systems.
You know everything. That's your trouble. The intensive week-long course will run from the 15th to the 19th of July, and it's at its Canterbury campus in Kent. Please visit their website for further info, which is www.canterbury.ac.uk.gis. So that's developing your skills. Geographical Information Systems. What is it then? Explain to me.
Well, Geographical Information Systems.
Yeah. What does it teach you?
Well, it's like maps. It's where stuff is.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like...
How would you use the skill that you get from this workshop?
Well, I don't know because I haven't been on the workshop, but Geographical Information Systems are things like TomTom.
Right.
For SatNav.
Oh,
And also, of course, there's a lot of social media sites now, especially if you're... an entertainment location or a pub or a fixed bricks and mortar place where geographical data will enable you to pick up something close by. So, for instance, do you remember we had Derek from TapTex?
Well, I remember we had that plane flying over.
No, not that. No,
I remember TapTex.
Do you remember TapTex, which is an app
yeah.
which tells you about offers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, that uses geographic data, because while you're walking around with your phone in your pocket, when you walk past somewhere in Whitstable, it will go, do you know, that shop in Whitstable has got a special offer on if you're looking.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant idea.
So that's how you use, that is one application of a geographic information system.
That's a whole minefield, isn't it, of how businesses could use that.
Technology has had some fantastic effects on the different types of businesses that we could...
I thought you were going to go into a song then, when, the hand went on the hip. It was going to be from...
My old man's a techie.
It's going to be from Le Mis. You know?
He wears a techie's
hat. It's a bit worried.
He wears cool Bonami trousers, and he's got an Apple Mac.
Yeah. Lovely.
Thank you.
Yes. Moving swiftly on.
Yeah. I've got a tweet from Chris Pollard again.
Have you?
Yeah, it says, I'm there, even though I'm off up the mountain again on the 12th.
He says he's got to pop to the cash machine. Can I go? It's 2:30.
Oh, right. I see.
Oh, we're overrunning, is he?
No,
nearly.
No, we're not.
He's got 5 minutes.
Yeah, wait for it.
I've got to pop to the cash machine.
He's probably got to send us money, hasn't he?
You know what's big in Turkey, actually? I was noticing a lot of cotton stuff is made in Turkey. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, very interesting.
In old cotton fields.
Socks. Mm. In fact, I bought a little hamema towel. Do you know what a hamema towel is? It's so hip.
Really?
I'm so hip. I'm always at the forefront of fashion.
Talking about socks and stuff like that.
I was talking about hamema towels.
Yeah, you know, but you were talking about...
Before that.
Yeah, before that, about socks. You know you can get socks here as well, down at Hagland's Farm.
Can you? Oh, there's alpaca ones.
Yeah, alpaca Annie's.
I know, I saved up for a year to get some purple long ones.
Yeah.
They're lovely. I do wear them all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, especially in summer.
Do you look like a purple alpaca with them on?
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Yeah, slimline one.
That's really cool. Right, I've got this, an excellence award. Crow Clark Whitehill, which has offices in Tunbridge Wells and Maidstone, triumphed at the 2013 Financial Directors Excellence Awards, which was hosted by Real Business and the ICAEW. The firm, which has seen a number of award wins since the beginning of the year, triumphed in the Auditor of the Year Large Firms category. The Financial Directors Excellence Awards have celebrated excellence in financial management since 2005. The categories recognising service providers to the finance industry are decided using the results of an annual survey of 1,380 UK financial directors and finance decision makers. This client testimony makes the FD Awards one of the most prestigious in the UK finance industry, and Crowe Clark Whitehill was awarded Auditor of the Year on the basis of the firm's outstanding level of client service and meticulous approach to major audits. This is the fourth time the firm has won an audit award in the 9 years the FD's Excellence Awards has been run. So massive congratulations to Crowe Clark Whitehill of Tunbridge Wells and Maidstone for their award in the financial...
Well done, guys. I love the way you swallowed during that.
Did you?
You'll hear back. It's quite dramatic.
Right. Okay.
A care home have been recognised for commitment to its service users, and this is Perrygrove in Charlton, in the borough of Greenwich, and it now has Eden Tree plaque and certificate in recognition of being recognition of being included on the Eden Alternative UK Register of Homes. And this is a special care home. It's for people living with dementia, and they've been recognised for its commitment to supporting meaningful lives to its service users. So well done, everyone there. The home was assessed on the 7th of May by June Burgess and Paul Bailey, who are part of the validation team for the Eden Alternative. So well done there, Perrygrove in Charlton in the borough of Greenwich.
Cool. Just to let you know that the Keita Awards for 2013 are now open for nominations.
Right.
And you can find out all about that by going to the following website, www.kentindependenttraders.co.uk/nominations. So that's Keita, Kent Independent Traders Association.co.uk, Business Awards for 2013. I went to that last year. It was a good event.
To most things. You go to the opening of an envelope.
I do, that is true.
I've had some breaking news here just in from Lisa Settle.
Yeah.
At Lisa M. Settle, her Twitter handle. She said, did you know, Paul Andrews, are you listening?
Yeah, yeah.
Primrose, the alpaca, gave birth to a baby boy yesterday.
Oh, really?
And he's called Jim.
How cute is that?
Yeah, they should have named him after you.
Yeah. Lisa also asked if you have an alpaca gilet yet.
No, I haven't. I'm asking them to knit me one for the next season, Lisa. But my purple socks are stunning and I love them. I'll wear them in next week. Chris Pollard is saying, we used to have cotton fields near us 5 years ago. They changed to pomegranate trees. Oh, I do love a pomegranate, do you?
Yeah, I do. They're a bit friggly. But
getting the pips out.
Yeah, but I do like pomegranate.
The only way to eat a mango is in the bath, really, isn't it? They're a bit juicy, really? Aren't they? Don't go there.
The only way to eat a mango is in the bath.
Yeah, don't go
right
there.
Rightio.
Probably a pomegranate as well.
Probably.
Because you have to gouge them out, don't you?
Yeah. Kevin Hadlow is apologising for missing a chunk of the show. His broadband went down. But not to worry, because from about half an hour's time, you'll be able to listen again, because everything on Channel Radio and the Kent Business Radio is up to listen again if you missed the live broadcast. So do tune in again at any time if you missed any of it.
And it's a hammam towel. Hammams are the Turkish baths. I thought I said towel. I meant towel anyway.
I think you did say towel.
Yeah, but I might have a hammam towel in a hammam.
Mm.
Then I'd be rocking.
Anyway, we've reached that time.
We have.
We've reached the end of the show. It just leaves me to say a big thank you to Jill Serkin and our fantastic guests on today's show, Claire Richmond of the Crouch End Regeneration Project, Saha Hashemi OBE, co-founder of Coffee Republic, all the people and businesses of Kent and increasingly the South East and Turkey who tweeted, emailed and participated in the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to hear from you all. Next week, our guest on the show is Mr. Gerald Ratner.
Oh, wow.
Which we're looking forward to. You can hear Saha on the 11th of June at 2:20 in the afternoon at the B2B show for the Kent Invicta Chamber. But for the moment, thank you for listening to the Business Bunker Show. Have a fantastic week and we will be back next week.
Bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Temp Network provides productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. With great value for money charge rates, error-free invoices.